Okay, let's start the mission here. Lan Bez on Bez. Yeah, I said we're going to do the run, but you're always free to look at all the Rishonim, any Rishonim you wish. Ein bein amudar ano mechavero lemudar hemenu macho. Okay, so we've got to get the terminology straight, right? There's the madir and the mudar. If by now we don't have it straight, it's pretty bad. So let's make sure we all have it straight. The madir is the one who's making the nether. Okay, the mudar is the one who is under the nether, right? The one who the iser is on. So if a person is mudar hano mechavero, that means he is not allowed to have any hano from his friend. Okay? Now he could be the madir too, so it's a little bit could be a little confused sometimes. But when we talk about the mudar, that means say he's the one who is under the restriction. Okay, he is nethered. He is under the nether. He is the mudar. Okay. So yeah. So the Ran says, for instance. Shechaveiro he diro shelo yehena mimenu bishum inyan. So his friend put him under a nether that he may not get any hana from, that the friend should not get any hana from him. Okay. So the difference, you can make a neder on your friend in two ways. You can say that he's usur from any ma'achol, okay, or from any hano. Now the Gemara will explain what it means that ma'achol is usur, but. Right now it's saying like this. Mudar, I was reading you Rashi before. So it says you can make a neder that he may not get hana from you, or you can make a neder that he should not have any food from you. Okay. So what's gonna be the difference? Sounds like a lot's gonna be the difference. But the Mishnah says the only difference is drisa saregel. And kelim shein osin bohem ochel nefesh. Okay, let's see the Ran here. Drisas haregel shamudar no osur laavor derech chatzero umudar mimenu ma'achol shari. So, if he can't have hano at all, then he can't even walk over your yard. Can't walk through your yard. But if he's only osur in his food. And obviously he can, right? What does the yard have to do with this food? Now it's interesting. The idea over here is that that what? That regularly speaking, there's no issur apparently to trespass in someone's yard, right? There's no halacha like that. You're allowed to just walk across a guy's yard. Okay, and. The only it's not considered like an act of nezek or nevar. There's no tort of trespass. In American law, in theory, you could say there's a tort of trespass, but halacha doesn't recognize that as some kind of a violation of his bailus, simply to walk across his yard. I'll have to see. Obviously, there are going to be different considerations, but there's no blanket halacha like that. So, but if a person says that so-and-so cannot get any hanoah from me, then he's not even allowed to walk across the yard. Okay? So that is a hanoah of, it's a hanoah that he's getting. But apparently, we'll see in the Gemara, that kind of a hano is not considered something that a normal person is makbid on. Now, Let's go a little further. That's one difference. And kelim she'ein osin bohem ochel nefesh. What does that mean? Let's see the run. Disharu b'mudar machol kol she'ein machshirin keyotzi bohen kedim farish v'azol u'b'mudar hano osir. So that's another nafkamina. If a person is mudar machol, then kelim that don't have anything to do with ochel nefesh are permitted. But if he's a mudar hano, then it's also. Now, v'lo yashi lenu nofe v'kivra v'rechayim v'tanur. So this is going back to the mudar machol, right? You can't lend him. You can't lend him a nofe kivra rechayim v'tanur. So nofe and kivra are like sifters, right? And rechayim is a grinder, and tanur is an oven. So those are kelim that you make food with, or you prepare food with. Avol mash ilo choluk v'tabaas v'talas unizomen. But you can lend him a cloak, a ring, a talus, and and rings. Nose rings, I don't know.
Nose rings.
Yeah. Let's see the Ran. Lo yashi lenu nofe v'kivra rechayim v'tanur. Itzrich lemisni honi ki heichid lo tisak adaita in dechi omar dekelem she'osin bohem ochel nefesh asiri hani inami b'mudar machol hani mili kidera she'mevashlim ba inami shud she'tzolim ba bosar aval hani goreim de goreim ninu v'lishnu v'lishru b'mudar machol. So he's saying he wants to teach you that you shouldn't think that the only thing that's usher are the kalim that you're mamish making the food edible with. Right? That would be like a pan or like the skewer, the pit, the spit to roast the meat on. Even the kelim that are machshirei ochel, which you could say is a goreim of a goreim, you might have a havmi to think that that's mutter. Kamashmalan is not. But you can give him the choluk, talis, nezamat abos. The Gemara shakli v'tari I ashmina ribusa ba'ani o lo. El de taninu Agav Reisha. Okay, so we'll see. It's a little confusing the one. All right. So it's a strange Mishnah. I mean, I understand the Mudar Hano. That means everything is Asur. And, but what's a little confusing from the Mishnah is what does it mean he's a Mudar Machol? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to figure out. It obviously doesn't mean food. Obviously doesn't mean my food. Right? It's obviously not limited to that, because you can't even give him kalim. He's not going to eat the kalim. So how does mudar hemenu machol go into the kalim, things that are osin bon ochel nefesh? That's not machol. It's not. All right, so we have to see. All right, ready? Let's take the Gemara. Mantana, Omrav Adabarava, Rabbi Eliezer, Ditanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Afilu Vitur, Aser Bemudar Hana. So, what does that mean? So, who's the Tana that says the Mudar Hana is also producer of the regal? So, apparently, it's not so pashut, that even though I say you can't get any Hana from me and me and my property, obviously. That it's not so posh, the Gemara says that you can't, that the guy can't walk on your property. Why? He says that's called vitur. Let's see the rhyme. Ma she darkon shel mochrim levater, lelokhin shemosifin lahem kishalokhin peros echad oshnayim afilu oso vitor osra the mudrana. What does vitor mean literally? What's the closest translation you can get? Let's see. The Rush says he says masha derech adam levater mishalo ve'eno makpid alav. So to be mevater means like to not be makpid, right? To be mevater is like to be forgiving of something. So it doesn't mean that the drisos regel is not something, is something that I can't, that's not considered a hana. They're saying it's considered a hana that the average person does not withhold from anybody. The average person gives freely. And they use the term over here by to mean both of them, the Rush and the Ran. Right, he says, "Kigon hachen v'ani achash enosan haminyan o amida sheragilim litain bepunzion hu ragil lehosef mishalo." The Rush gives a little bit of a reason for it. "Kidei lahargilo lavo etzlo," it's a little different. "Oso vitu asur lemudrana." So the Ran says, and the Rush both give the example of a lokeach. That if you buy something from the store, he gives you a little extra. Not makpid on if you take a little extra. Right? You want to buy, I don't know, a pound, he's mevater on a pound and an ounce. He's not going to charge you extra for the ounce, for the extra overage. Okay. That's called vitor. Now it's interesting. The Rush says that he's really getting something out of it, right? The Rush says he does it kidei lahargilo lovo etzlo, which is not really just giving it freely. It's kind of like trying to build some goodwill. Okay, but what? But he's saying that's a machlokas. That vitor, is that us or not? So it's so obviously. It's mutter to buy and sell, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have a question of vitur. So, even though if I'm a mudar, if you're a mudar enough for me, okay, so we're allowed to buy and sell from each other, right? So if I say that I will not get enough from you, and you're a baker, I'm allowed to give you the fair price for a loaf of bread. That's not my giving you the money is not considered being a mehane you, right? Or if the situation was reversed, my giving you the bread would not be considered being mehane you. Why? Because I'm giving it to you in exchange for the money, right? I'm not giving you a matana, right? I'm giving you the money to acquire the bread. And as long as the price is, as long as it's shove b'shove, that's not considered a violation of the Isra Hano. Yeah, that's not considered a violation of the Isra Hano. But the question is, baker's dozen. You know what a baker's dozen is? They don't do that. They still do baker's dozen. You go to the bagel store. Yeah. Used to be, right? You get order a dozen. It's a little game you play. You order a dozen bagels, and you're supposed to get 13. Right? That's a baker's dozen. So, can you get a baker's dozen from the bagel store if you're a mudrano? So, according to the Chacham, you can. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't. So the Gemara is saying, this would be like that. This drisas regel is like a vitor. Yeah. So how do we understand this machlokas? Not so simple. No, it's not a cheirim on the guy. You're not saying the guy's in cheirim. You're allowed to engage him. You're allowed to talk to him, right? You're allowed to give him a compliment. Okay. That's not considered being mad at the guy. But the only thing is, your property, he cannot be a nene from your property, from your belongings. Right? That's the that's essentially the neder is chal on the on your nechasim. And you're saying he can't be a nene from your nechasim. Now if he's making 50 cents off of it, that's Nisan's question. So what would you say over here? It's interesting. Let's see if there's a chakira over here. We've done a bunch of sugis about Hana in the past. And one thing that we've found is that Hana is measured by the totality of the experience, right? Like the Gemara discusses the case of if you're, I think we were doing it last summer. Had to do with being a nene from the shade, maybe. I forget exactly what the case was, but if there's a, an attending pain with the pleasure, we don't consider it to be ana.
Sorry, I was just.
And also, there's a tosis. I remember we were doing by the Bastia, you know, where you a guy wants to breathe in or smell the yayin nesach. So Tosa says it's mutter because it hurts his lungs also. So it's true he gets a pleasure from the smell, but overall it's a painful experience. So you have to look at the totality of the maisa to decide whether it's a maisa hana or not. So you could argue over here. So you could argue over here that it's true that he is getting money, which is always fun. But he's losing an object that has the same value. And what do you mean it has the same value? He could sell it to someone else for a dollar. So if he loses it, so when he gives it, when he's getting the money and giving up something of the same value, doesn't matter what his profit is. It's an object that he could realize a dollar's worth of value on. So to destroy it would be, so when he loses it, when he gives it to him for less, then he is, and he's taking a loss. He doesn't have to take the loss. All he has to do is balance out the gain. Because the profit doesn't, it's not a matter of profit, it's a matter of what it's worth. It's worth a dollar. So he's giving up something worth a dollar, and he's getting something worth a dollar. Now, why is it worth a dollar? It's worth a dollar because that's economics. That's the nature of commerce. I'm going to fix the price based on profit margin, but that's the price. Yeah, but is it that way? Is it a balancing act, or is it simply he's not getting anything from the guy?
What do you mean he's not getting anything?
But I think that it. I don't think it's. I don't. It seems to be a strange way to look at it. To me, it seems simpler that it's that a mekachol memkar. If I'm giving you a dollar for something that's worth a dollar, then I have not increased your rishus, your nechasim. So it's not considered to be. I'm not in the realm of property. I'm not a mahanavi to you. Now, Nisan, the other point is the baker can sell it to someone else. That's also part of the equation here. He can sell it to someone else. Right. So that's what it means. It has a worth. It has a value. It has a value to someone else. It has a value because someone else could buy it. So you are not really giving me the profit. I have an object that's worth a certain amount of money. And I can sell it to you. I can sell it to someone else. So therefore, there's a certain economic, a certain reality to the value of this piece of bread. And when you give me its worth, and I give you the object, it's not considered that you have increased my assets. It's the same amount. I'm just trading one asset for another asset.
Right.
It feels good, but that's not the hana we're talking about. We're not talking about the hana of feeling good. Yeah, right. Right. It's a good question. So you don't say, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like the first way. It doesn't seem like it's right to look at it the first way. Well, Lewis is asking, what about selling an Isser Hana? If I have an Isser Hana, how would it work out? If I have something that's Isser Hana, so that we say the money that I'm getting for it is a Hana. Right. But that's a little trickier, though, because really, it has no value, really. That's the problem. Once the Isser Hana kicks in, then I don't consider it to have any value because I can't do anything with it. See, over here by the bread, I could, that's what I was mentioning before, I could sell it to anyone. So it really has a value. And now you're the one who happens to buy it from me. That doesn't change anything. There's nothing from you that I'm getting that is unique to you and your property. And your property is not increasing my value, my property in any way. So we don't consider it to be a maisa that I'm nene from you. It's a fair trade. It's a fair trade. But what about vitur? The vitur is interesting. Let's think about it a little bit. The Rush says even though the guy is giving it away to get his customer to increase his Yelp reviews, right? It still is considered vitor.
I think that would be Hana.
So that's the machlokas. That's the machlokas. Chum say that's fine. Wait. Let's make sure we know who's who here. In this case, the customer is the mudra Hana, right?
I mean, the customer made the Hana.
The customer is the one who's made the Hana.
Right.
No, the customer is usher to receive hana from the merchant, and he's giving him a dollar he's giving him a dollar and he's getting a dollar tens worth, $1.05 worth. Now 5 cents, nobody cares about. That's called vitor. So Rabbi Eliezer says that's usher. He can't accept that extra pruta. Even though that's customary in business to throw it in. And the Chacham say, no, Vitor is Mutter. So the Gemara is saying, this Shita is Rabbi Eliezer, because Drisas Regel is like Vitor. Yeah, Drisas Regel is like Vitor. So the tricky thing over here is, and this goes back to what Lewis was mentioning also, is in the realm of Nidarim, a lot of times the question comes down to what we consider the neder to be chal on. You know what I mean? It's not always a strict question of is it hana or not. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't think anyone disagrees that that walking on my property is some kind of a hana from my rishus. Correct. The question a lot of times in this topic is, what is considered included in the neder? So for instance, that's why the Rush is saying the vitor case is mekach u'memkar, and the standard practice of mekach u'memkar is to throw in a little extra. So when I buy something for a certain amount of money, which I'm allowed to do, right? As the mudra hana, I'm allowed to engage mekach u'memkar from you. But, and there's a certain amount of extra that the seller always throws in for free. So the question becomes, it seems to me, it's more of a question of how do you define the scope of the neder? When I say you can't get hana from me, and excluded from hana is mekach u'memkar, and contained within mekach u'memkar in the normal sense is vitor, correct? The Chachamim say, therefore, vitor is excluded from the neder. You simply don't have das neder on something that you don't relate to as an entity of Hana? How do you know you don't relate to it as an entity of Hana? Because you're not charging for it, right? You don't relate to it as a well. Let's put it this way: you relate to it as part of the Mecha Chumemkra, even though technically speaking, it's not, right? Because you're getting a little, you're giving a little more than you're getting, right? But in the tzura and the maisa of Mecha Chumemkra, it's called vitor. You're not medaktik, right? You go a little over. So the Chachamim say, we're going to define the neder, the isra no, will take the form of the will take the form of the derech of ano. There's a certain derech of being of ano, and there's a derech of mekel chamemka. Vitor falls into the derech mekel chamemka, which is excluded from isra no, because that's not considered a maisa ano. So it seems like the Chachamim go more along the line of a when I say that you are a mudar hana for me, it's not like I'm consecrating my property, and now I have to be done. Every grain, am I getting something in exchange for this, or am I giving this, or is this going to you for nothing? They hold it goes by a certain derech of hana. And when I say you're a mudra hana for me, it means to say I will not treat you in a derech of hana. As long as I'm treating you b'derech mekel chamemka, and this is included in the derech mekel chamemka, that's not how the neder is found. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, what comes out is that the Chachamim are learning even a mudr hano is limited. Even mudr hano is like mudr maho, but in a bigger way. You understand? So it means it's very important. You understand what I'm saying?
No, can you repeat it?
Yeah. It seems like this. It seems the question from Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is that a person can make a limited kind of a neder. Like I can say, you're a mudar ma'achol from me. Okay. So I'm limiting the nature of my of the isra hana. I'm limiting it to a certain function. Right. I'm limiting it to a certain function. We'll see how that works out, but I'm certainly not creating a kedushas in all of my property. I'm trying to negate a certain type of a benefit from you, and I'm limiting it to macho, let's say. Okay. But Rabbi Eliezer says, if I go to the extent of saying you're a mudr hanoah from me, now it becomes that all of my property simply exists betoras isra hanoah to you. It's no longer a certain kind of there's no quality anymore. If I'm mudr ma'achol, so now I'm limiting the isra hanoah to a certain kind of a quality. If I'm saying you're a mudr hano, that's unqualified. Once it's unqualified, then it's chal in my property like a kedusha, like an actual reality of kedusha. And therefore, I have to, every bit of benefit that you get is going to have to be offset by something in order to make it mudr. Okay, you okay, Ali?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. But it seems that's Rabbi Eliezer. But it seems the Chachamim are still learning, even though you're saying that the guy is a mudr hano, it's just an increased quality from to still saying that he's usher in a certain derech hano, It doesn't. It never is chal in the chefza, in the rishus, as an absolute entity of iser. Doesn't mean now that his whole rishus has a quality of kudshim to this guy. He still is talking about his rishus as a vehicle of a certain derech of hana, but instead of limiting it to a derech hana of ochel nefesh, it's an unlimited derech hana. But it still has to be in the framework of a derech hana. So if it's so, the nafka mina would be vitur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, since he's a mudr hana, we have to view his entire rishus as an entity of hektish, so to speak, as a and the only question will be, is he getting a hana from my property? So to the degree that it is a shava b'shava, he's not. The minute he gets a little extra than shava b'shava, it is. Okay. But according to the Chachamim, we have to say, is he using his property towards him in a derech of hana? Because that's the only violation. To use his property as a derech hana, the derech hana. So therefore, derech mekach u'memka is not derech hana. And vitor is part of the derech mekach u'memka. Okay. And apparently, the Gemara is saying trespassing would be the same thing. That's not. No one relates to that. No one says, "Oh, he's being mahanami by when I walk on his property. He is he's engaging me through his property as a derechano. It's considered agavorcho. It's considered something that just is mamela, so to speak. So it's true, technically speaking, I'm a nana from his property. But that's not, we don't consider that to be like he is allowing me to use his property. It's considered the mindless, mamela kind of a benefit. Okay, that seems to be the question. It's good. All right, let's take the next case. Okay. Yeah. Okay. V'hamin ha'machol nodar. Yeah, this is a funny Gemara. So it says, ask the simple question. First it says he's a mudr ma'achol. And now it says he can't give him a sifter. So, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the big run. Yeah, so the Ran, let's take a look at the Ran. Okay, so he said like this. Afilu vitor. Masha darkon shel mochrim levater lelochin shel mosifin lohem kishet lochim peros echer ushnaim. Afilu osu vitor osur bemudur hano. Yeah, that's the joke. You know the joke with the mayor, I think it was. He went into the ice cream store and he said, how much is ice cream in a cup? So he said, $2. How much is in the cone? $2. How much is it with the sprinkles? $2. So he says, oh, so the cone and the sprinkles are free. He says, yeah. He says, okay, I'll have a cone full of sprinkles. So that's vitor, right? The cone and the sprinkles are not free, but it's vitor. Yeah, a different story about that, similar idea. Well, not really, but it reminds me of it anyway. I think it was from the Netziv. I'm trying to remember, one of those guys like that in the time of the Maskilim. So in the time of the Maskilim were Jews who were like, I guess you would call them conservative or reform, or like cultural Jews. They had a certain value of the culture of Judaism, but they did not accept any halacha. So like one of the things was they would be interested in diktuk, right? Hebrew language, Hebrew literature, just stam as a cultural entity. So they have these stories of these maskilim who had diktuk questions, and they would go to the chachamim to help them with their diktuk questions. I don't know, I'm trying to remember. I think I saw it in that book, my uncle, the Nativ. So one of the things was, he said to him, someone came and asked him these questions, these dictative questions, and he was able to, you know, give him these answers. not sure why he agreed to talk to him, whatever it was. And then the guy said, he said, I study Diktuk. That's what I study. I just study Diktuk. How is it possible that I'm just studying the Diktuk and you who are doing, you know, learning Gemara and the Diktuk is just a side point. How is it that you know the Diktuk better than me? Right. So he said, give you a mashal. It's like when you buy something from the merchant. So he puts it in a box and he ties it up with the string. He says, but he wouldn't give you that for free. If you're buying the whole, if you're buying the product, you get the string and the box for free. So the Diktuk is like the string in the box. If you're just trying to do the Diktuk, you're not going to get it. But if you're engaged in the whole Mekach Umemka, then it comes in for free. A little different than the corn and sprinkles, but
a little different.
So I think I have a story up there with the Gra, that this guy was a masculine. He went to see the Gra to ask him a dicta question. Anyone see that story? And then on his way in, all the Talmidim spit on him. And on his way out, they spit on him. And he got in there, he asked his questions, he got his answers, and he had to like wipe the spit off his face. He says it was worth all the spit. So these guys were strange guys. They were like the dicta. You know, they were happy they had this this idea of the culture of the Jew, and they tried to make something out of that. Anyway, so these are like this. V'avagav d'avi zvina d'rami al ape. Yes, even though it's an even trade, right? That vitor is still, there you go. Afilu osa vita osa bemudra na viafagav davi zvina de rami al ape. Yeah. So zvina de rami al ape is mutra, right? But the vitor is osa. Hilgach drisos haregel osa afagav de lo kapti bo inshi osa bemudra na. Alo rabbanan de pligele sviri de kol hecha de lo osa alav elahan na so. Kehaigav na lo mikri hana. Given the midi the lo kapit be inshi havi ein ze koroi nene mei chavero. See, that's exactly what we're saying. Yim tomar docha mashma de bedrisos haregel lo kapti inshi umishimachi shoru rabbanon yilu berchezkas abatim amrinon gabi elu dvarm shein lem chazaka. So, right? I'm sure everybody was very excited when they saw chezkas abatim. So he says, so we say over there, there's certain things that are not considered a chazaka. And v'aminan hocha b'chotzer shel shutfus askinan. Right? So if they're shutfim, so we don't say that the ahamoda kidi lo kapti. So you don't say if you have two shutfim and one guy is putting stuff, you know, across the border, let's say, or on more than 50%, that's not considered a chazaka. Because to be a chazaka, it has to go against the bailus of the other person. And shutfim don't mind when the other person puts the, stands things on his property. They're not makbid on each other, because they're shutfim. Okay, maybe he's doing a little more than he should, whatever, they're not makbid on each other. But the point is, the Gemara says, shutfim are not makbid on each other. Alma dafka shutfim hud lo kapti. Ha inshi de alma kapti, the cave in shekain litzer afilu rabbanon. So you see that this goes by a derech of being of considered to being a nehne mechavero, and that's dependent on what people are makbid on. If they're not makbid, they're not considered to be a nehne. But you see, the Gemara says in Cheskes Habatim that shufim are not makbid, but stam people are. So therefore, it should be not vitor; it should be aser. According to everybody. Tirit Rambanzal de Hamoda de Omri Hosom Hainu his akev Valeshev Bechotzer Dumya de Hamodas Behema. Interesting. The Tanan Hosom Masnisen Ubhiai Gavnu de Omar the Dafka Shut from Lokopti. Ha inshi da alma kapti. Right? So in other words, let's say you go into somebody's backyard and you sit down in his chair and you hang out on his property. That's not Jesus Rayo. That's not Jesus Regal. That's something that people are mocked on. And that's the case of Hamoda in Cheskes Abatim. But just Stam Jesus Regal, the Alma, that's Lav or Dera Chatzero, the lowless Akib Sham, the High Gavna, I feel Inji the Alma, the low should be low Kopti. Yeah, so that's something my father told me a long time ago, that the Rav said there's no such thing as trespassing in halacha. And it implied that you can go into someone's yard and just relax there. But apparently, going to the Ramban, it's talking about just Drisa Zarego. Doesn't mean you can go into somebody's house and make yourself comfortable. Doesn't mean you can go into somebody's backyard and lounge around in his on his lounge chairs. Okay, that a person is mocked on. Yeah. Ulin yalocha pasuk Ramban zok Rabbi Eliezer damar viter asa kevin de stam lontana hacha kavase. Okay. Or Rabbeinu Chananel zal kosev perchesikas abatim gabi il dvorim shein lehem chazaka de leis halacha hilchus Rabbi Eliezer bechein das Rabbeinu Tam zal. I says big machlokas. Looks like the Rambam baskin viter is asa. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. We used to have in the yeshiva, people used to walk through the backyard neighbor from Oak Drive into the yeshiva property. And that was Drisa Zarego. But it's funny, that guy told me that someone on the block who was a prominent Rav told him that he shouldn't let people do that. Because if he does, he might not be able to stop them in the future. Because if something becomes like a derech of the rabbim, then it's like you're mochalit completely, and you're not allowed to stop people. But he didn't care. He was a nice guy. But we voluntarily put the fence up. Okay. So what about the machol? So the Gemara says, "I'm a Rishon ben Lakish." Be Omer Hanoas Ma'acholicha Olai. Okay, so what does that mean? That's the Mudar Hano. So the guy, so the Madir says, wait, so now who's making the Neder? This is where it gets confusing, right? It sounds like the Madir is making a neder. It sounds like he's saying, I will not get any anah from your food. Right? Look at Ron says. That's why it gets a little confusing. Sometimes the guy's making his own neder against the other guy's property. But that's the way this case goes, like the Ron says. Dekevan Joseph Omar Hanoas Ma'achol. No, he doesn't say ma'achol, he says hanoas ma'achol. Hare osar al atzmo kol mashegoreim oso. So whatever causes hanoas ma'achol is osar. V'kori le ma'acholicha mishom debigarmas hanoa shelo bigromas hanoa shelo hu misukan. The mission doesn't say what he said, right? The mission doesn't say what he said. He's a mudar heimenu ma'achol, right? But how did he do it? He said hanoas ma'achol lecholai. And why did he add the word hanoas ma'achol? He should have just said ma'achol if he only wanted the food to be usher. So what does hanoas ma'achol mean? It doesn't really work out. The Gemara is going to knock it off pretty quickly. But at this point, what does it mean? Right, because the Gemara knocks it off pretty quickly. The Gemara says, no, hanoas ma'achol means pleasure from food. Like if I take your chitim and make it into a, a salve on my burn or something, That would be the Hana of Macho. But what does the Nofer and the Kivra have to do with the Hana of a Macho? Right? Shlo Yilos Chitam V'yitin Agavi Makoso. That's Hanoas Macho. Right? The Hanoas Macho lo mashma ela shlo yene miguf ha-macho atzmo. I would say the Hana of your food is upon me, so then the food is just identifying which entities are the ones that have the Isser. But any Isser, any Hana will be Isser from those entities. So then it would be, even if I took the food and I turned it into a bandage, that would be Hanoas Ma'acho. Okay. So, but the pots and the pans should be mutter. So how was he learning the pshat originally? The Hanoas Ma'acholecha would imply the things that cause the Hanoa of the food. So he's learning, anyone want to say? Just a pshat question. I think he means anything that improves the food, right?
I lost you for a little bit. I don't know if everyone else should.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, got me now? Okay, nothing important happened. I think he means Hanoas Ma'achol doesn't mean the, in his Havamina, it meant that which is Mahana, the food, so to speak. But how's it going to work out? But he's trying to figure out, what does it mean? Hanoas Ma'achol Cho. What does it mean? The Hanoa of your food. Josh, are you frozen? Or are you very still? Oh, very still. Okay. Yeah. He's going to answer Kol Mashe Goreim Oso. Whatever is, so to speak, the Hanoa to food. The Hanoa, you know what I'm saying? Is whatever improves food. That's what he means by Hanoas Ma'achol. But why does he say the Hanoas Ma'achol Cha? That's the only thing that doesn't make sense. Why does he say the Hanoa of your food? Okay. That's what the Ron's trying to explain. He calls it Ma'achol Cha Mishum de Begromas Hanoa Shelo Hu Mesukan. It's because of the friend's cause, his food is prepared. And that's what he means. That's what he thought it meant. So in other words, the Ran is basically admitting over here that you've got to come up with some avimin or else nothing makes sense. So hanoas ma'achol would mean improvers of food. Now, why does he say improvers of your food? He doesn't mean your food. He means your improvers of food. I don't know what to say. That's all you have to say here. Okay. I don't know why he proposed such a strange idea. So the Gemara says that doesn't make sense. Hanoas ma'acholecha means the hanoa of your food, even if it's not a culinary hana. I don't know what his havmi was. Amar Rava be'omer hanoa hameviya lidei ma'acholecha alai. I guess he doesn't like that. It's such a wordy statement. I guess he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the idea that the Mishnah says simply the guy is a mudar heimenu ma'achol, and we're trying to turn it into some kind of a hanoa on things that are mevi lidei ocho. And apparently he doesn't like that it would just call it hamudar hamenu ma'achol if it couldn't be phrased in some kind of a, if it couldn't be expressed in some similar phraseology. Apparently he didn't like to say that. What does it mean hamudar hamenu ma'achol? It means he said this very long statement that is clearly not related to food anymore. Or certainly not related to his food anymore. Hanoa hameviya lidei ma'achol cho olai. Why is it ma'achol cho again? See, the Ron takes out ma'achol cho. Hano hamevia lidei ma'achol alai. Not ma'achol lecho. Oh, I see. The Rashi keeps it in. He means just say whatever would make your food edible is on me. It's true, doesn't matter, right? In other words, it's just identifying the objects. That's a nofa v'kivra mevi ma'acholo l'ma'achol. Your nofa and kivra would bring you his food to the state of edibility. That's why he can't give it to him. Okay. So then he said like this. Yeah, okay. Let's stop here for today, okay? Let's look over the conjugations over here. But it is funny. Now he's phrasing it in the person is making the neder on himself in these cases. It is. It's a lie. All of these are a lie.